Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Tzadi Aleph in Zvachim. 91st page of Zvachim. Going to get around to finishing the 10th parak. Not sure if we're going to finish it today. Probably not, but we'll get to close to finishing the 10th parak of the Masechta. We start with the Mishnah. Mishnah continues along the theme of the 10th parak. We've been discussing since the beginning of the parak, which was all 3 days ago. Short parak. The inyan of Tadir and Mekudash, where if I have something which is more common, more frequent than something else, that takes precedence. Right? Shachris before Musaf and Karbanos, which are more common, take precedence over Karbanos that are less common. The Tamishal Shachar comes before the Musaf of Shabbos, etc., etc. And then the next Mishnah goes on to another line of thinking, which is Mekudash. Mekudash Mechavero, Kom Lechavero. If something has more Kedusha, more sanctity, it takes precedence. So we start with our Mishnah. We are in the Mishnah on Tzadi Amud Beis, and the Mishnah continues with the theme. If it's Chatos versus Asham, which are similar Karbanos, we've been discussing this for a number of times already. Chatos is for a Isur Karish, Asham, not for an Isur Karish, but the Torah provides sometimes an opportunity to be Mechaper with a Karban Asham, much like you're Mechaper with a Karban Chatos. So Chatos comes before Asham because Chatos has more Kedusha than an Asham. Right, and how do we know that? It's demonstrated by the fact that with a chatas, I do on all four corners of the mizbeach. Hashem, I don't. So, except for Hashem Mitzora, there's an exception. With every rule, there's an exception, and here the exception is Hashem Mitzora. Hashem Mitzora, the Mitzora has to bring at the conclusion of its saras a carbon Hashem, and the carbon Hashem allows him entrance into the temple. An allowance of entrance into the temple, a ticket into the temple, that's a big deal. So the Asham of the Mitzvah is going to take precedence over Chatos. Chatos is Mechaper, but the Asham Mitzvah allows entrance. And now, the Mishnah, as long as we are comparing Asham, the Karban Asham, to Karban Chatos, so we're going to have a word about the Karban Asham. All the Ashamas in the Torah, Bayim B'nei Shtayim, has to come two-year-old, right? The two-year-old sheep. Uba'in b'kesef shkalim. And also there's a cost. You gotta pay for it with two shkalim.
Minimum
of two shkalim. Rashi points out, the pasuk says, b'erkecha kesef shkalim. Now Rashi does point out that it says it only by the Asham Me'ilah, but what we're going to do is we're going to learn out all the other Ashamos from the Asham Me'ilah. So therefore, it's 2 years of age and two shkalim is how much you have to pay, minimum. Chutz me Hashem Nazir v'Hashem Mitzora. The two exceptions to that are the Hashem Nazir and Hashem Mitzora, Shein Bayim B'nei Shnasan. And the reason why they're exceptions is because we know that you buy them as an animal, B'nei Shnasan. Torah says that 1 year old. So once the age changes, so therefore the cost is going to change as well. Bein Bayim B'Kesef Shkalim, and therefore they don't come B'Kesef Shkalim. Kishim Shekod Meim B'Hakrav Asam, Kod Meim B'Achil Asam. Okay, and now we move on. We talked about Kedima in terms of being makrevit. So if I have a choice of which one to offer, so I go with which one has more Kedusha, or which one is more frequent, one of the two. That's true regarding the Achila as well. If I have a choice of eating, well, which one do I eat? Do I eat the Chatos or do I eat the Shlamim? I eat the Chatos over the Shlamim. Now, by the way, this choice is a limited choice. I would never have that choice because I'm not a Kohen.
Right.
So I never would have the choice of eating a Chatos versus a Shlamim. Right? Danny would have a choice of Chatos over a Shlamim, and then he would obviously opt with the Chatos over the Shlamim.
Well, the amount of time you have to eat them all.
Okay, so the Mishnah then goes on like this. So in Achilo as well, you give precedence to, you give Kedima to Kedusha or Tadir, whichever it may be. Vishlamim shall emesh. So I'm sorry. Kodmim Achilasan. Shlamim shall emesh. Vishlamim shall yom. Okay. If I, let's say, I have a karmen shlamim of yesterday and I have a karmen shlamim of today, shall emesh kodmim l'shel yom. Okay. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the simple pshat. And interestingly enough, Rashi does not provide the simple pshat. Rashi's pshat is a little bit difficult, but I'll give you the simple pshat because it really is a simple pshat. We know already, we've been learning this for a number of times, that with the Karban Shlamim, you have 2 days to eat the Karban Shlamim. The day that it's shechted, the entire evening, and all of tomorrow until sundown. So Shlamim, you have Yom Laila Yom. Okay. So let's say I'm sitting down at the table right now, and I have shlamim from that was shechted today, and I have shlamim that was shechted yesterday. So here, if I take everything into consideration, I'm going to eat yesterday's shlamim, not today's shlamim. Right? For a simple reason. Yesterday's shlamim is expiring. By the time the sun sets, I will have no more opportunity to eat yesterday's shlamim. The sun sets today, that's it. The shlamim can no longer be eaten. Tomorrow morning it's going to be burnt because it's no star. Oh, okay, fine. So if that's the case now, so I'm going to eat yesterday's shlamim, not today's shlamim. I know today's shlamim is fresh meat. Right? Who wouldn't want that? But still, I got to take into consideration, I prefer not to leave no star. The Torah says, lo so siru mimenu ad boker. You shouldn't leave no star. So if I have one carbon which is expiring, the other one's got a, today and tomorrow, I'm going to go with the expiring carbon versus today's carbon. That's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. I told you Rashi's pshat is a little bit difficult. I didn't even tell you what Rashi said. But suffice to say, let's leave it like that. That'll be the pshat we'll work with. Shlamim shalayim shechatas. I'm sorry. Shlamim shalayim 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 shechatas v'asham shel hayom. Oh, what about this one? This is a good one. I have yesterday's carbon shlamim, meaning again, we're going to go with what I would call the simple pshat. The carbon which shechted yesterday, so now it's shlamim day two, and I have chatas asham. So now what do I go with? Meaning I do have an expiring shlamim, but I do have chatas asham. Chatas asham has more kedusha. So which one do I eat? So interestingly enough, the Mishnah says shlamim shalemish chatas asham shalayim shlamim shalemish kodmim divrei Rabbi Meir machlokas. So Rabbi Meir says, well, go for the shlamim. Okay, why? Why should I go for the shlamim? So look at Tosfos. Tosfos over here writes the following: shlamim shalemish chatas asham shalayim shlamim shalemish kodmim. This is now Tosfos explaining Rabbi Meir. Perish bekunshes nezizul hula shosem kolkach shetzuras abasar mit kalkelas. It's decaying. It's rotting. It's second day after you shechted it. The alchinam dachak. Now, Tosos writes that pshat is not even necessary, right? Well, second day of meat. I mean, it's not. I understand they hadn't have refrigeration, but it's still day two. It's not. You know, we're not a week later. Ela hainu taima deshlamim shal emish ein lahem heter ela ad halayla vechatzav hashem shal yom ad haboker denechal layom v'layla. Tosos also gives a very simple pshat. When it comes to your carbon chatas, how long do you have to eat it? You have all of today and all of tonight. Yom v'layla. When it comes to shlamim, how long do you have to eat it? Yom, layla, yom. If I'm in day two of my shlamim, I have till sundown. And that's it. If I'm in my day of chatas hashem, I have all of today and all of tonight. So the truth of the matter is that this shlamim has a shorter expiration date. By sundown tonight, it will be done. I can't eat it anymore. So given the choice between shlamim versus chatas, so Rav Meir says, go with the shlamim over the chatas. Okay, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. The chachamim omrim chatas kodemes memnei shi kachi kachim. Okay, and the chachamim say, no, chatas comes first. Look, categorically, chatas is kachi kachim. It is on a higher level of kedusha. So you're going to eat the chatas over the shlamim, even though this is the second day of the shlamim, even though its expiration time is actually going to end sooner.
The Kulan Kwan, even if you know you're not going to eat afterwards, I mean, like, eat the shlamim, you have the night to eat. But if you know you're not going to eat it, you still do that?
Right. This is this whole discussion. Right, I understand. This whole discussion is about kedima. Right. Meaning, if it becomes a choice of one or the other,
nothing to do with it.
Right, nothing to do with which one comes first. I would tend to agree with you. The chatas comes before the shlamim, but you know, I would be guessing, but I would agree.
Carbon
Pesach.
Oh, that's only carbon Pesach.
But we extrapolate, though. In other words, that the Torah tells it to us by carbon Pesach, but we then extrapolate to all the other carbonos. Shouldn't leave. In other words, the basic idea is that when you have a carbon, don't leave it over.
Yeah.
The basically saying that kedusha takes over kedima.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Hold it. Okay. That's. Oh, we're going to get to that. That's. You said good, but not yet. The kulan kohanim rishayim l'shanos ba'achilasam la'achlam shloim v'shkulam avushalem la'aseis l'socho tavlechulam tavlechurma divrei Rabbi Shimon. How do you prepare your karban any way you like? You like it cooked, cook it. You like it well cooked, well cook it. You like it roasted. You like a barbecue. You do it any which way you want. What kind of spices do you put in? Tavle chulin, tavle truma. Spices, whatever spices you want. Even tavle truma, even spices of truma. Now that is a chiddush. In fact, it's such a chiddush. Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir Omer lo yiten l'sochu tavle truma shelo yavi ha-truma l'idei psul. What happens if I were to put the tavlim of truma? Now, obviously, we're talking about a kohen eating it. Obviously, you can't have a non-kohen eating truma. And so, when he's putting his truma spices on, so he's got truma pepper, he's got truma, right? Truma garlic. Okay. So when he puts his spices on the meat, so Rabbi Shimon says it's fine. Rabbi Meir says no, you can't do that. Why not? Because remember, every carbon has expiration. Every carbon has expiration. So what you're doing is you're taking truma and you're shortening the lifespan of truma. You're creating hefsed, a loss to truma. We can't, generally speaking, we can't do it. Now over here you'll tell me, and apparently this would be defense of Rabbi Shimon, yeah, but you plan on eating it. You're not really destroying it. You're using it for a carbon. Yes, it's true now its shelf life has been significantly diminished. That's true, but you're not destroying it. You're eating it. You're just putting it into the carbon. So I guess that's what Rabbi Shimon would say in his defense. But Rabbi Meir says, if you're shortening shelf life, I don't care why you're doing it, if you're shortening the shelf life, you're destroying truma, and you know you're not allowed to destroy truma.
What okay. else would it be used for?
For his own cooking. His home cooking. Meaning, this is a kohen.
Right, but at some point you're shortening the life of the truma.
No, in other words, if you kept it home in his shelves, so anytime he wants to, he can go into his shelf, take it out, and add it to his food. Once he introduces it to a carbon, so now it's connected to the carbon. Right? The taste transfer, Rashi explains. And so what's going to happen now is that its shelf life is going to be whatever the carbon is. That's the shelf life of the truma. You are curtailing the life of the truma. Ibai Lahu. I've been PRing this question now for some days. Trying to tease it. Here they go. The Gemara asks it pretty straightforward. Ibai Lahu Tadim Mekudesh Umeim Kodem. So now let's say you have a conflict where I have something which is frequent versus something which has more kedusha. And if those are my choices, now which one do I go with? So the way the Gemara spells it out, it's cute. The Tadir Mekudesh Umeim Kodem, Tadir Kodem Mishum De Tadir. So on one hand, Tadir should come first. Why? Because it's Tadir. Oh, Dilma Mekudesh Kodem De Kaddish. Or maybe Mekudesh should come first because it's Kadosh. Okay, Gemara's not providing for us, any better understanding of what the issues are. I mean, essentially, that's what the issue is. What's Tadir versus what's Kaddish? I don't know what we gain. There's got to be more to the Gemara, because at this point, I don't understand what the Gemara just helped us in terms of our understanding of what the issues are. What would be a case of Tadir versus Kaddish? The Gemara just asks it as an abstract, right, as a conceptual. What would be a case of Tadir versus Kodesh? So Rashi over here gives two examples. Look at the bottom Rashi on the page. Tadir Mekudesh Kagon. For example, Rashi example number one. Dam Olas Tamid Vidam Chatas Omdim. Let's say I have blood of the carbon Ola and blood of a carbon Chatas. Oh, that's a good match off. Not a great one. I'll get to it in just a moment. But it's a good match off because the Olas Tamid is frequent. The blood of a chatas that has more kedusha, we've already established chatas has more kedusha than ola. So that's one example that Rashi gives. So omdim zed tadiv zed mekudesh mimenu kedamrin and dam chatas kol nadam ola mimeshu meratze. Okay, that's example number one of Rashi. Good example, not great example. Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's first example. Well, why not? Well, what's wrong with Rashi's first example? Yeah, right. Because Olas Tamid, we've already mentioned this earlier. Beginning of this parak, I mentioned it. Nothing comes before the Olas Tamid. The Olas Tamid, by its very nature, has to be the first carbon of the day. So you're right. In other words, it is a match off between Tadir versus Kadosh. But the Olas Tamid, one of its features is it's number one of the day. So Tosfos is not in love with Rashi's first example. Rashi's second example, Tosfos doesn't have a problem with it. He likes it. Inami, olos musvei Rosh Chodesh upar ha'eda. Happens to be that on Rosh Chodesh we have to bring a carbon musaf, right, which is frequent. Every Rosh Chodesh we bring a carbon musaf. And on that day it happens to have been that there's a parhelim davar being brought. That's a carbon chatas. Okay. So I have a musaf offering of Rosh Chodesh, which is an ola, which is frequent every Rosh Chodesh. And on that very day of Rosh Chodesh, we're bringing parhelim davar. Parhelim davar is the chatas of the people because Beis Din came out with a ruling and we all followed the ruling. And okay. So that's another example. And now the musaf Rosh Chodesh is tadir. The parhelim davar has more kedusha, given the choices, so which one should come first? So, Tashma. So, from here forward now, for the next half of an Amud, the Gemara will try to resolve this question. We start off with the following. Tamidim kodim le musafim, the Alpha Gav, on the very top of Sadi Aleph, Amin Aleph, the Alpha Gav de Musafim Kedishe. Look, we said that the Tamid comes before the Musaf. And now you know the Musaf has more Kedusha, right? So, and by the way, I'm sorry, let me just point out, we are talking about Shabbos. Okay? On Shabbos, you have your tummy and you have your musaf, so the tummy comes before the musaf. Now, afagav the musaf and kedusha. Now, you know the musaf has more kedusha. So, atu Shabbos le musafim ahani letmi. I'm sorry, ahani letmidim lo ahani. So the Gemara says, well, look, why does the musaf have more kedusha? Because it's Shabbos, right? It's the musaf of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, there's a shame Shabbos on the Musaf. The Gemara's response is, even the Tamid, what do you want a Tamid? The Tamid's just a Tamid? It's not just a Tamid. It's a Tamid of Shabbos. So in other words, on the levels of Kedusha, they're essentially the same. And now that the level of Kedusha is the same, meaning it's the Musaf of Shabbos, it's also the Tamid of Shabbos. Also, in terms of Kedusha, they're the same. So the only thing that leaves us then to figure out is which one is more Tadir. Okay. Tashma, the Gemara says another one. Musfei Shabbos kol musfei Rosh Chodesh. Okay, Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh coincide. So the Musaf of Shabbos comes before the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. And again, the Gemara is working with the presumption the Rosh Chodesh has more Kedusha. Rashi says, we know Rosh Chodesh is referred to as a Moed. Okay, Rosh Chodesh is a Quasi Yantif. Right, Rashi talks about this from time to time throughout Shas. Rosh Chodesh is a quasi yantiv. So the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh has more kedusha than the Musaf of Shabbos. Gemara says again, not necessarily. Alto Rosh Chodesh leMusafim didei ahani leMusfei Shabbos lo ahani. What do you mean? When you're offering your Musaf of Shabbos, it's not just a Musaf of Shabbos. It's a Musaf of Shabbos that's brought on Rosh Chodesh. Oh. So in other words, again, the Gemara is basically saying they're equal in Kedusha, not different in Kedusha. Tashma. Musaf Rosh Chodesh Kerevim LeMusaf Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, you have special Kabbanos for Rosh Hashanah, plus you have your standard Rosh Chodesh Kabbanos. Which one comes first? Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is more common. Tadir v'sheino Tadir. And again, Gemara operates with the same assumption. Afagav de Rosh Hashanah Kedesha. What do you mean? Rosh Hashanah, Kedusha, the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah. And again, the Gemara says the same thing. Rosh Hashanah, Musvei Didei Ahani, the Musvei Rosh Chodesh Lo Ahani. The Gemara says, look, that's not just a regular Rosh Chodesh Musaf. It's Rosh Chodesh Musaf Bar Rosh Hashanah. In other words, same level of Kedusha, and then we're only back to Tadir. Okay, Toshma. How about this? Davar Acher. Big machlokus between Beis Elon and Beis Shammai. What do you do first? Do you make the bracha on wine first, or do you make kiddush first? Oh, okay. Well, hopefully, we all know we make the bracha on wine first, then we make kiddush. Right? We say a paragraph before vayichulu. That's I don't know what that is. I mentioned before the vayichulu. I don't know what it, that's not kiddush, right? That's a paragraph of vayichulu. Vayichulu was primarily instituted in Shmoneh Esrei. Right, on Friday night, as we're all familiar. And in fact, you know why you say Vayichulu after Shmoneh Esrei?
It is latecomers. Oh yeah, that's
the latecomers. So Tosfos and Pesachim. I happen to be learning Pesachim right now, so I'm just showing off that I'm learning Pesachim right now. So the Tosfos and Pesachim says that no, we added, the rabbis added Vayichulu after Shemoneh Esrei on Friday night, because there are some times when we don't get to say Vayichulu in our Shemoneh Esrei. Well, one of those times, when Shabbos and Yom Tov coincide. Right, so when Shabbos and Yom Tov coincide, you know what happens to that Shemoneh Esrei? It turns into a Yom Tov Shemoneh Esrei. And now we lose the Vayichulu. So what do we? So what do the Chachamim institute? Say Vayichulu afterwards. That's why the Chachamim instituted. Why don't we just say it then? Lo plug. Meaning once we added Vayichulu after Shemoneh Esrei, so every Friday night after Shemoneh Esrei, we all say Vayichulu. Okay, that's Tosfos and Pesachim in terms of why we say Vayichulu. And then Tosfos goes on to say, and you know, your wife and your kids didn't go to shul on Friday night, so when you get home, you're going to repeat Vayichulu. Alright, but Vayichulu is not Kiddush. That's certainly, if there's one point I was going to try to make, it would be that point. Vayichulu is not Kiddush. So we start off with a bracha on Bor Pi HaGafen, and then we say Kiddush, the paragraph of, right, Rav Savanu, and you know, the paragraph that I can't remember right now, but you know what I mean. Okay, now which one of those two come first? Should it be the Bor Pi HaGafen, or should it be the Kiddush? So Beis Hillel says, and you know we do follow Beis Hillel from time to time. So Beis Hillel says it's the bracha on Gafen, then it's Kiddush, and he gives his reasons. And Davar Acher, one of his reasons is Birchas Hayayin Tadira, uBirchas Hayom Eino Tadira. Well, look, what's more common? Birchas Hayayin is more common, right? We have wine every single day. Right? I'm two cardiologists, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Every single day, one cup of wine. One?
Some.
Red. Okay. Okay. So the Birchas Hayayin we have every day. The Kiddush we only say one time a week. So wine is Tadir and Kiddush is not Tadir. But wait a second. Now it fits in with our Gemara. Yeah, I get that. But Kiddush has Kedusha. I mean, it is called Kiddush. Right? Kiddush has Kedusha. And you want to tell me the bracha of wine has Kedusha? That's kind of hard to say. So here you have a confrontation of Tadir versus Kadosh. And you see the Tadir won. Okay. The Gemara is not so convinced. U'birchus hayam eino Tadir. V'tadir she'en atadir tukar. Af agav debirchus hayam Kadisha. The Gemara answers like this: Atu Shabbos Birchas Hayom Ahani LeBirchas Yayin LoAhani. And again, the Gemara basically gives the same approach that I gave earlier. You're mistaken. Your assumption was the bracha of wine doesn't have any kedusha. That's not true. Once Birchas of Yayin is attached to Kiddush, the Birchas Hayayin has kedusha. It's not just I'm saying Bor Pi HaGafen and drinking wine. It's I'm doing that with Kiddush, in conjunction with Kiddush. It's now elevated Birchas HaGafen. The Bor Pi HaGafen now is not just Birchas Hanenin. It's now part of the Kiddush. And therefore the kedusha is the same. And then all I have left to figure out now is Tadir. Okay, Tashma. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Mispaladam Shomincha Ve'achakach Shomusafim. Okay, it's late in the afternoon and we haven't daven Musaf yet. The Baal Shachris took a long time, a really long time. And we started late. And so now we're in the afternoon and now we have to figure out, well, which do we say? Do we say Musaf or do we say Mincha? So, Musaf we don't say that often. Mincha we say every day. So Amr, so Rav Yochanan says the halacha is that first you daven mincha, and afterwards you daven musaf. So the Gemara says, Atu Shabbos, and again, let's just spell it out. Mincha doesn't have as much kedusha as musaf, and the questioner thought, well, so what do you see over here? You have a confrontation of tadir versus kadosh, because mincha is more tadir, but musaf is more kadosh. And yet we're opting with Tadir over Kadosh.
Why is Musaf
more Kadosh? Because Musaf is here for Shabbos. Musaf is here for Rosh Hashanah. In other words, it's for the Yantiv. It's for the special day. So it has more Kedusha. And the Gemara is going to basically say that's not true. Meaning in the Havamina, that's what the Gemara was asking, and then the Maskana is no. Atu Shabbos l'tfilas Musaf and Mahani l'tfilas Mincha l'ahani. And again, the Gemara comes back to the same point. It doesn't have more Kedusha. That's not just Mincha. That's Mincha of Shabbos. So again, so it has the same level of Kedusha, and therefore, we're only left to figure out which one's more Tadir. Tashma. Okay, and now here we go. Right, we're going to go to our Mishnah, which seemingly will speak to this topic of Kadosh versus Tadir. Shlamim shalamish chatas v'asham shalayam shlamim shalamish kodmim. So the Gemara says, look, what do we have? We had a scenario in our Mishnah of yesterday shlamim and today's chatas asham. Right? I told you, right? The simple pshat is I shechted the shlamim yesterday, and so it's my day two of my shlamim, and it's I have day one, which is the only day of your chatas and asham. So what do I do in that case? So again, machlok tshim rameir and the chachamim. But the Gemara says, ha'idi v'idi ha'diyom, but let's say they both were coming today. Chatas v'asham kadmei, afa gav d'shlamim tadira. Now look, shlamim is more tadir. Now, this is a little bit tricky, this part of the Gemara.
The late shlamim, though, that's the thing.
Wait, but the Gemara is making an inference. Right, the case of the Mishnah was delayed shlamim. With the Gemara is inferring, what if it wasn't a delayed shlamim? What if the shlamim was today and the chatas was today? Now, this is a little bit tricky because what the Gemara now is assuming is shlamim is more tadir. Now, we're talking about voluntary offerings. So, and the Gemara is about to make this point. I'm just setting ourselves up to understand the Gemara's point. Shlamim is not really an obligation. It's not. It's a voluntary offering that you bring, you know, from time to time. But it's not, right, it's not a chiyuv. But, okay, and hold that point in your head, keep that point in mind. But when you think about it, though, probably in the base of Mikdash, a lot more shlamim were offered than a carbon chatas. Okay, probably. So the Gemara says, if that's true, yet from the Mishnah, it's not an explicit statement in the Mishnah, it's implied, but from the Mishnah we can infer that if the two were up one against the other, I would go with chatas over shlamim. Kedusha over tadir. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. Amar Rava, so Rava says, it's not a good case study. Not at all. Why matzui kamart? Because that's not tadir. Uh-huh. Tadir means when you're obligated to do it every day. Like everything we've been discussing. Like davening. Like kiddush. Like karban tamid. Like the Mustaf of Shabbos. Over here, you're talking about voluntary offerings. That's called matsui. It's not the same. So matsui kamad, you're talking about matsui tadir. Tadir kami bayalan. Matsui lo kami bayalan. It categorically doesn't fit into what we're discussing. So amale ravuna bar Yehuda larava. Atu matsui lav tadir vehatanya. So the Gemara says, I disagree. So Rav Huna bar Yehuda says to Rava, I disagree. I think matsui and tadir are not separate categories. I feel like we can compare the two. How do I know this based on a brisa? Let me give a little bit of background before we start this brisa. 36 Isuri Krisus in the Torah. You've heard me say that a number of times. Okay, it's the first Mishnah in Krisus. Of those 36, 34 are lav and 34 negative prohibitions. Right? Don't have relations with a family member. Don't violate Shabbos. Don't blasphemy. Right, I just gave you an assortment of examples of the 34. Okay, we can do Krisus, first day of Krisus, we're going to learn all 36 of them. Okay? Of the 36, two of them are mitzvos aseh. If you're mevatel, two mitzvos aseh, you get kares. They are Karban Pesach and Bris Milah. Okay, now, we know that for the 34 lavin, if I fail to do the 34 lavin, bishogeg, I bring a carbon chatas. Okay. If I violate any one of the 34 lavin, bishogeg, in a state of unawareness, so I have to bring a carbon chatas. What if I violate the two mitzvahs I say? Do I need to bring a carbon chatas? So the Bryce is going to teach us, no. You don't bring a carbon chatas. Even though it's an Isser Kares. Let's say I woke up in the morning and I forgot that today was the 14th day of Nisan. And I forgot to bring my carbon Pesach. Oh my gosh. So do I bring a carbon chatas to be mechaper for the failure of bringing my carbon Pesach? So the Braisa says, no, you don't.
Which carbon chatas is brought for sins of commission. Is there omission?
Correct. Correct.
Right?
Because the chatas is for committing an act, not for omitting an act. The Hatanya we learned on the Braisa, it's a Pesach Shein, Utaj Velo, it's a Mila. Shehi tadira. And then the Braisa says, look, maybe Pesach will exclude because Pesach is not that common. But Mila, Mila is common. Now, just how do you understand that? Pesach isn't common. Well, I guess we understand that because it's one day a year. And Mila is more common. Even in the presentation of this brisa, I'm still not 100% sure what that means. Oh, you know, people don't get a Mila all the time. I'm not sure. I don't fully understand what that means. But still, the point is, this is what? This is, we're having a discussion really of Matsui. And before I get to the answer of the Gemara, we're really having a discussion on Matsui. We're not having a discussion of set times to do something. We're talking about failure to get a bris mila. That's Matsui. And yet, in the Brisa is calling that Tadir, and the Karban Pesach not Tadir, even though it's really a discussion of Matsui. So it sounds like Matsui and Tadir are interchangeable. That we could be talking about Matsui and still call it Tadir. And the Gemara's response is, no, my Tadira, Tadira ben mitzvos. Here, when the Braisa uses the terminology of Tadir, it doesn't mean frequency. It means like this. How many times does the Torah say to get a bris mila? 13 times. Right? Mm-hmm. All right, by Parshas Lech Lecha, you count out the number of times it says it, and the Mishnah and the Nedarim tells us, Yud Gimel Kriso. So there are 13 references, 13 instructions for us to get a bris mila. So in other words, when it says Tadir over here, it's not talking about frequency of action, it's talking about how many times the Torah is telling us to get a bris mila. And that is more Tadir by bris mila than it is by Karban Pesach. Ibai Seima Mila Legabe
Pe... For the individual, you know,
Mila
is not
Tadir,
everybody only has one.
Right, correct. Agreed. Ibai Seima Mila Legabe Pesach. Or the Gemara says, look, if I'm putting the two up against one another, so then yeah, Mila is more Tadir than Karban Pesach. Right? Everyone has a bris mila, everyone has the opportunity to not get a... In other words, it's just more, relatively speaking, one to another, yes, we could say one is Tadir over the other.
But they don't mean that's a situation where you have a choice to do one or the other.
Correct. All right, Ibai Lahu. All right, and that ends that discussion. So, unfortunately, the Gemara kind of leaves us off unresolved. Question of Kedusha versus Tadir. The Gemara... I lost count, by the way, but we went through basically a dozen proofs, approximately. And from all of them, the Gemara really did not walk away with any solid conclusion of if you have a scenario of Tadir versus Kedusha, which one is going to win out.
Okay.
In
fact, we're doing Tadir, except for
Korah. I don't know.
Whatever you want.
I don't know. The Gemara...
Depends on the rabbi you pick.
No, I mean, the Gemara is...
You pick whichever you want.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who said that?
He quotes the Rambam?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He says what? I'm sorry? Whichever you want.
Since it wasn't resolved, so the Rambam says you...
You could pick. Neither one has more... is more compelling than the other.
Right, and then the question was asked, well, if you come late to Shul, and the Sibur is starting down Musaf, and you haven't done Shachris.
And you haven't done Shachris.
Should you daven Musaf first?
Right.
Or you have a choice, or...
These things get complex now. Right. Yes, okay. All right, Ibayilahu. Let's continue. Next big question of the day. Tadir v'sheno tadir v'kadim v'shach l'sheno tadir. My. Second big question of today. Okay, so you have a case in the Beis HaMikdash of tadir and eno tadir, and you didn't do what you were supposed to do, which is go with tadir. You went with eno tadir. So now the Gemara says, what do we say now? Mi amrina kevin d'shach te makriv lei. Look, you shechted the eno tadir. You shouldn't have, but you did. So do you finish? Odilma yahiv la'acher demamam. I'm sorry, yahiv la'acher demamaris bedamo. Ademakriv leila tadir. V'hademakriv l'sheino tadir. Or do you press the pause button, meaning that you shechted the eno tadir? You shouldn't have. So now you push its pause button. Now pushing its pause button, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, hand it to somebody else. Say, look, hold this. And it's blood, by the way, so you got to mix, because otherwise it's going to congeal. So hold it and keep mixing it, and I'll come back to you later. Okay, and don't ask me any questions. Okay, and so the Gemara wants to know. So what is the correct procedure? So Amar Avuna Misura Tashma Shlamim Shalmish Chatas Vashem Shal Yom Shal Emish Kodem Shal Yom. Okay, so We go back to our Mishnah, and we go back to a case that we've seen already a number of times in our Mishnah. I have yesterday's Shlamim and today's Chatas. So what do I do? So, Shel Amish Kardim Shel Yom. Okay, so yesterday code takes precedence over today. Now that happens to be Reb Meir's opinion, and the Chachamim don't agree, but still, that's Reb Meir's opinion. Hadi Yom Dumya De Amish. So again, what we're going to do with this Mishnah is go with the implied statement of the Mishnah. Not the explicit statement, but the implicit statement. And that is, what if I had both of them? Meaning, what if I have today's Chatas and today's Shlamim? Now, rules of procedure, operating rules of procedure, Chatas should come first. Chatas has more Kedusha. It's a no-brainer. So, Dumya Demish. Vehechi Dami. And now, what would be the case exactly where I have today's Chatas and today's Shlamim? The Kadam Shachtel Shlamim, that somebody came along and by accident Shachtel the Shlamim first. So now, again, this is a lot of conjecture. It's a lot of speculation about what's going on in the implied statement of the Mishnah, but let's work with it. So somebody Shachtel the Shlamim first. Chatas v'ashem kadmei. And what should you do now? You should do the Chatas and Asham. In other words, put the Shlamim on hold and do the Chatas and the Asham. Chatas or the Asham. So you see that we press the hold button, we press the pause button. And again, that's all because we conjectured a lot in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, Dilma Shlamim Damish v'chatas v'asham diyom heichi mishkachala deshachtin lo tarvayu. So the Gemara says, well, maybe that's not the case. Maybe the case is where both of them were shechted. And now that I have two cups of blood in my hand, then I'll do the chatas before the shlamim. But if I didn't shech both of them and I shechted the shlamim, maybe the halacha would be, I shouldn't have done that, I should have gone to chatas first, but now that I got the shlamim blood in my hand, finish it, and then go back to the chatas. Tashma. Again, the question of, what if I goofed? Do I press a pause button? Davar acher berchas hayam tadira berchas hayam ena tadira v'tadav sheno tadir tadir kodem. So the Gemara says we go to the wine versus kiddush. So the Gemara says hachinami kiddikim de asyan keman de shchita tarvayu dami. And the Gemara says again that's not a good case study because the wine's here and the kiddush is here, so to say, meaning the opportunity is right here. So that's like holding two cups of blood in your hand. Okay, so that's not a good case study. Tashma, Dam Rav Yochanan Alach Mispal Adam Shomincha V'Achar Kach Shomusafim Hachinam Mekem Damati Zman Tfilas Mincha Keman Deshachti Tarvayu Dami. Again, Mincha and Musaf, if the opportunities are both here, it's like holding two cups of blood in my hand. So it's also not a good case study. So Amalei Rav Acher Brei Rav Asher Ravina Shachtu Kodem Chatzos Pasul Mimnei Shenem Rabo Bein Ha'arbayim. If I shechted the Karban Pesach in the morning of the 14th, you blew it. It's no good. Because it has to be shechted, Bein Arbayim, it has to be shechted in the afternoon. Kodam L'Tamid, Kasher. What if I shechted the Karban Pesach before the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim? You remember I told you a couple days ago that in the Karban Pesach, it's the only Karban I shecht after the Bein Arbayim. Okay? And by accident, somebody shechted it before the Bein Arbayim, the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim. So what do? You hand it to somebody, let him stir the blood. So wait, before I get to the answer. So, but the Gemara says, look, this seems to be a very good raya. Because what do we have over here? Somebody shechted the Karban Pesach, shouldn't have. The first thing you should have gone to was the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim. And so what do we say? Press the pause button. Put it on hold. Do the Bein Arbayim and then go back to the Karban Pesach. Gemara says, "Hachem ben Ma'iskin could go into Karban Shachtel the Tamid Breisha." The Gemara says that the case over here is that somebody shechted the Tamid first, meaning that we are dealing with the two cups of blood in your hand. So Amalei Rav Acher Sabel Rav Asher Masnitz Nami Deka Diktani Achi Yizrok Adam V'Lo Ketani Achi Yishchav Yizrok Dam. Even though that seems like a forced answer, it actually isn't, because if you look carefully at what the Braisa says. The Braisa says, do Zrika. Meaning the only thing left to do is Zrika, not Zrika plus Shechita. It seems to be the correct Pshat on the Braisa. So again, on the second question of today, What if I do the Eino Tadir first? Do I put it on pause, on hold, and then go back to the Tadir, and then go back to the Eino Tadir? And again, the Gemara left that question also unresolved. Sorry, two unresolved questions for today.
But with regard to Pesach, don't you always have a way out with Pesach training?
That's true, but if you're there and you have an opportunity to do it there, so you should do it there. When the Kohanim eat the carbon, they eat it in a dignified manner. The Torah uses the words limashcha. The word mashcha means anointed, right? Kings are anointed. Kohen Gadol is anointed. Anointed means derech gedula. You eat it in a way of grandeur, of splendor. And so therefore, when you're sitting down and you eat your carbon, you eat it the way you prefer. If you sit down for a meal, right, you get to order what you want. Right? That's the beauty of a restaurant. Right? Why does everyone love a restaurant? Because you get to, right, you look at a menu and you say, here's what I want.
My wife tells me what
Amar Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we start the next Mishnah, and we are going to be now dealing with the last sugya of our parak. What this Mishnah is doing here, I don't know, and it really does not fit in thematically with the rest of the Mishnayos of the parak. It happens sometimes. What can I tell you? It does happen sometimes where sometimes the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi throws in a Mishnah even though it doesn't fit in with the theme of the parak. Okay, I'm sure there's a good explanation. I just don't have one. Amar Rabbi Shimon, im ra'ita shemen shu miskalek ba'azara. All of a sudden, you're seeing oil being distributed in the temple courtyard. Oil, and the Kohanim are sitting down and bringing a little salad into the temple courtyard, and they're adding the oil to the salad. So there's being oil is being distributed in the azara. So if you're informed, if you're educated, you don't have to ask the question, well, what's going on? What's that oil? Because you know. Well, we don't know yet, but we're going to learn in just a moment. Ela Mosar Rikike Menachos Yisrael. Velog Shemen Shel Metzora. It can only come from one of two sources. It's either the leftovers of the Rikike Menachos Yisrael. Mincha offered by a Jew, by a non-Kohen, I should say, is a part of it is burned on the Mizbeach and the rest of it is eaten by the Kohanim. Oil is added to a mincha. Some menachos don't absorb the oil, and so therefore there's going to be leftover oil. Okay, so here's a perfect case study of the leftover oil of a mincha. Rikikim are the wafers. They don't absorb a lot of oil, and so there's going to be leftover oil. Or it could be the oil of the Mitzorah. The Mitzorah, when he goes through his Tahara process, you bring a log shemen, and the log shemen, a little bit of it is applied to the ear, thumb, big toe of the Mitzorah. The rest of it, eaten by the Kohanim. So, the rest of it, that's in the container, by the way. You don't, not the part that went onto the ear of the Kohen, of the Mitzorah. Im ra'isa shemen shu nitan agabe ha'ishim. Next, what if you're seeing oil being placed on the fire? So once again, if you're informed, you don't have to ask questions. Ein tzarich lishol ma'ol ala mosar rikikim minchas kohanim o minchas kohen mashiach. A mincha of a kohen, right? Just everyone should know, a mincha offered by a kohen, kulo taktar. The whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach, oil included. So you're seeing oil go on to the mizbeach, so you know it came from that, or it came from the minchas kohen mashiach. Kohen Gadol every day brings what is called a minchas chavitin. Half of it's burned in the morning, half of it's burned in the afternoon. It's oil additionally is burnt onto the mizbech as well. She'em is not v'm shemen. But here's what it's not, says our Mishnah. It's not donated oil. Meaning we know an animal can be brought as a carbon. We know that birds could be brought as a carbon. We know that flour could be brought as a carbon. Oil by itself cannot be brought as a carbon. Right? That is the opinion of our Mishnah, specifically the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. So, if you see oil in the in the Azara. If it's distributed, so you know what it is. If it's being burnt on the Mizbeach, you also know what it is. And you know what it's not. It's not just oil being donated. Ein Miznadvim Shemen. You don't donate oil by itself. Oil by itself cannot be a self-standing carbon. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Miznadvim Shemen. And Rabbi Tarfon disagrees. And Rabbi Tarfon says that oil can be offered by itself. Just like you can offer an animal and a bird and flour as a carbon mincha, you can also offer a carbon shemen. Right? A carbon of oil.
So yes, there's a question before one time ago. So you are allowed to bring, right?
Machlokes. Machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Tarfon. Okay. Amar Shmuel. Now, L'divrei Rabbi Tarfon, Amasnan Dei Shemen, Kom Sov Vishayev Ne'achalim. So, now that we are in the world of Rabbi Tarfon, so, how are you going to bring the oil? Right? In other words, the Torah doesn't talk about bringing oil by itself. So there's now left for us to try to figure out, not for us, but for the Amorayim, how do you bring the oil? How is it done? So Shmuel now offers his understanding that according to Rabbi Tarfon, when you bring oil, you do a kemitza of the oil, and the shayarim are eaten by the kohanim. This is going to be neat. I mean messy. Kemitza flour, so you take your hand and you put it into the flour, and you bring up your hand and you're cupping your three fingers over your palm, and you brush off the sides, and you're left with now a fistful of flour. Flour is little particles, they'll stay inside. That's good. Oil? You take your hand, you put it in the oil, you cup your fingers. Right. I need a visual on this. I don't know how we're doing kemitza with the oil. Okay, but aside from my logistic issues, though, conceptually, you understand? In other words, what Shmuel is basically saying is that, look, you gotta borrow, you know, a play from the playbook. In other words, by all other karbanos, part of it goes onto the mizbeach. By an animal, it's blood. It's imurim, right? By a bird, it's blood. By a mincha, you take a kemitza. You take a part of it and you put it on the mizbeach. So you got to take a play from the playbook. So when you're bringing oil, according to Rabbi Tarfon, oil is a self-standing carbon. But you need to do something. Part of it needs to go onto the mizbeach. So he says you take a kometz. You take a kometz, a fistful of the oil, and you put it on the mizbeach. My time, amakra, carbon mincha. Because when the Torah describes it, it describes it as a carbon mincha. Malam shem is nabdim shemen v'chi mincha, and it's just like a mincha. Ma mincha kom tsa v'shayar v'ne'achalim, av shemen kom tso v'shayar v'ne'achalim. Okay, so this is Shmuel's argument that you have to do a kemitza if you're going to bring the oil by itself. So I'm Rabbi Zeraf Anamitanina. I think that's correct. And not only do I think that's correct, I think that's a simple pshat of our Mishnah. Because look at our Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Shemana Imraisa Shemana Mizchalik Bazar Yatat Sarach Lishol Mahu Ala Moser Rikike Minchas Yisrael Velo Shemeshal Mitzara She'em is Nadvin. So he quotes our Mishnah, and our Mishnah quotes first the opinion of the Tanakama, and the Tanakama says, Ein Miznadvin. Right, Tanakama, by the way, is Rabbi Shimon. Sorry, I should have made that clear when I read the Mishnah. Mechlal demandam im misnadvim mitchalek. Now, so from Rabbi Shimon, we get to see Rabbi Tarfon a little bit better. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not distributed. According to Rabbi Tarfon, it is distributed. Now, before distribution, what are we doing? So you got to put something onto the mizbech before you get to distribute it. So Amalei Abaye Ema Seifa. So Abaye says, I'm not convinced. Because, wait just 1 second. Because look at the second half of the Mishnah. Im Re'is Hashem Shenitan Agabi Ishim. Because in the second part of the Mishnah, we're talking about fire on the oil on the Mizbeach. Iyat HaTzarach Lishol Mahu Ala Mos Rikike Minchas Kohanim Minchas Kohan Mashiach. She'im Is Nadvim Shemen. You don't offer oil. Mechlau Delamandam Is Nadvim Kulav Le'ishim. So now, from that part of the Mishnah, it sounds like the one who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, where does it go? Where does the oil go? Up onto the Mizbeach. So you, from the Mishnah, you really don't see what happens to the oil. Is the oil totally burnt on the Mizbeach? Or no? Part of it's burnt on the Mizbeach, a kemitz is burnt on the Mizbeach, and the rest is distributed amongst the Kohanim. So li'abai kashereisha. Now look, from Abai's standpoint, what do you do with the first half of the Mishnah? I don't know, good question. But Rabbi Zer, kashya seifa. But according to Rabbi Zer, what do you do with the second half of the Mishnah? I don't know, good question. So bishlam l'Rabbi Zer, reisha b'shirayim seifa b'komets. So from Rabbi Zer's standpoint, I'm not bothered by the Mishnah at all. Because what I'm telling you is, part of it goes on the Mizbech, that's called the Kemitza, and part of it is eaten by the Kohanim. So in the Mishnah, we're describing some of the oil going on the fire, that's the Kemitza. Some of the oil being distributed by the Kohanim, that's the Shirayim. El Abaye Kashya. So the Gemara says, well, what do you do for Abaye? Tana Resha, Atu Seifa. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Resha comes as a result of the Seifa. Now, Bishlam is Seifa Tani Misham Resha. El Resha Misham Seifa Mitani. That's a little bit strange structurally. That the Mishnah would do that, the Gemara says in. Okay. Maybe a little bit strange structurally, but Amri Bema Rava Tana Resha Misham Seifa. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes the Resha is there as a setup for the Seifa. Okay. Perhaps that could be. All right. So again, so in our Mishnah, in our last Mishnah, which we learned, what is it doing in this parak? As I mentioned, I don't know. But we're talking now about oil in the Azara. Rabbi Shimon says oil is not a self-standing carbon. Oil is either leftovers of the mincha, right? Leftovers of the mincha of the Kohen Gadol, leftovers of the mincha of a Yisrael, and all you got to do is just know your laws of leftover oils, and you don't have to ask questions. You know what the oil is there for. Rabbi Tarfon disagrees. Rabbi Tarfon says that oil is a self-standing carbon, and therefore what? Machlokas Amarayim. Do you burn the oil on the Mizbeach? That's the opinion of Abaye. Or the opinion of Rabbi Zera and Shmuel is no. That you do a kemitz of the oil, put that on the Mizbeach, and the rest is eaten by the Kohanim. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots in the middle of the Amud.